It's no secret that in Alaska, fishing is especially dangerous. The profession has even spawned a TV series, Deadliest Catch. And although it's about 1,000 miles away, and nowhere near as dangerous as the Bering Strait, the waters of the Inside Passage near Petersburg can still be a risk for local fishermen. According to the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, in 2007, 111 of every 100,000 Alaskan fishermen perished on the job. That's 29 times the average for fishing jobs elsewhere in the country. Because of those statistics, Congress is considering new regulations. One of the biggest proposals is new construction standards on vessels longer than 50 feet. Jerry Dugan is the executive director of the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, or AMSEA, a nonprofit that works to educate Alaskan fishermen on safety methods.
In the near short term, in the next few years, it would affect people who are starting constructions on new vessels.
New commercial fishing boats that are at least 50 feet long and operate at least 3 miles offshore would be subject to the new construction and equipment installation standards. And older fishing vessels that are 50 feet or longer would also eventually be affected.
It's not going to have an effect on existing vessels until the year 2020. I've heard some of the yards and manufacturers say this isn't going to make any difference in the price, and others say, well, it could make a difference as much as 15%. So it depends who you talk to.
It'll cost fishermen quite a bit of money.
That's Eric Blumhagen, the chief maritime architect at Jensen Maritime Consultants in Seattle. He says that the new regulations would raise the startup costs for new boats by 10 to 15%. And also raise the operating costs for fishermen who already own boats larger than 50 feet. Moreover, Blumhagen points out that half of the casualties that occur on fishing boats are due to capsizing or sinking. Another quarter of those casualties come from man overboards, neither of which, in Blumhagen's opinion, are addressed in the bill.
I don't think that it puts the money where it's most, where it's best used for improving safety. We really think that it would be better to focus on the structure and the watertight integrity of the boats, and then also on training and means of improving man overboard recovery.
Jerry Dugan, however, has a different perspective. He stressed that the new legislation is flexible and not intended to be onerous to fishermen who already own boats over 50 feet.
We believe that doing other changes to safety voluntarily will increase actually the overall level of safety than having higher hull equipment standards, let's say. That's called an alternative compliance program. And the Coast Guard has to listen to those views and has to respond to them.
The bill's allowance for an alternative compliance program is also very important to Mark Vinsel, the director of the statewide commercial fishing organization, the United Fishermen of Alaska.
The legislation allows the alternate compliance, developed through committees, including fishermen, to be even fishery-specific, not just broad swath across a region or a given, territory.
So how would the bill affect Petersburg's fishermen? Julianne Curry, the director of the Petersburg Vessel Owners Association, said that arguably the bill's two other big changes, mandatory inspections by the Coast Guard and additional training for skippers, wouldn't be big challenges for Petersburg's fishermen.
A lot of the guys in the fleet are already doing this, and so for guys in Petersburg, it's not going to be as big of a deal as it will be for guys, say, in Craig or in Pelican, who don't quite have the same access that we have here in Petersburg to a lot of the programs that are going to be put in place.
To find out what Petersburg's fishermen thought about the proposed regulations firsthand, I took a trip down to the docks with Curry. We ran into two local fishermen, Rob Swanson and Alan Otness. First, we asked these longtime seiners about their views on the mandatory Coast Guard inspections.
No, our insurance company requires it anyway, so
we're
required to have one.
Swanson and Otness were also okay with more training for skippers.
Yeah, over the years we've all taken the drill instructor courses, we've done all that stuff, so it's just pretty much doing what we've been doing all along.
But not all Petersburg fishermen felt the same way. Mike Alfieri had a different perspective on the issue of skipper training.
I guess my feeling is we're out there going through training every time we go fishing. I don't know if we need a week-long course.
and some guy that basically sits in an office telling me how to be safe.
Alfieri also thought the mandatory Coast Guard inspections were unnecessary.
I had a voluntary one about 3 years ago, and I kind of prided myself on the boat being in pretty good shape. And the guy, all he could find was a day I didn't have a day shape on the boat, and they had the wrong chart for the Strait of Juan de Fuca. So he didn't give me a decal. So I guess if they did it mandatorily, they'd have to come up with a little better guideline on what they're really looking for.
Versions of the legislation are sponsored by Democrats James Oberstar of Minnesota in the House and Maria Cantwell of Washington in the Senate. Neither responded to calls for comments. Although the bill hasn't encountered much opposition yet, Dugan said that that could change, and it will be a while before the legislation even has a chance to become law.
Because this is just a proposal, it's just come out of committee, it hasn't gone to the whole House yet. This wouldn't come into effect in all likelihood for several years.
The work-related fatality rate for commercial fishermen in Alaska has decreased by 42% since the early 1990s. And the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health says that that success is due in part to safety requirements that were implemented in the early 1990s. In Petersburg, I'm Alex Hotz.